Well, thank you guys for being here this morning. I did just want to give a shout out to Gino as he put together the study guide. So there's a couple verses that are in my notes that I might not be able to cover today, but I really challenge you guys to get the study guide and really look into it because some of the verses are going to be very encouraging to you in the midst of everything that's going on right now. And that's what I really want this morning, is that in the midst of the present time for us to still be able to experience joy. So to maybe bring a little joy, I want to share a little story with you. First and foremost, just need to make sure that there's no kids in the room. Okay, it's not inappropriate, by the way. That's not why I'm checking. Just wanted to throw that out there. But when I was a kid, you know, my parents did the whole Santa Claus thing, right? So my parents, you know, Santa, we're going to go see him this year. He's going to bring you your presents. You got to be good, that kind of thing. And I can remember all of the magical parts of Christmas and thinking about Santa Claus is coming and just the excitement that would build up and the joy that you know, I felt inside. And you know, my parents decided at one point in time that, you know, maybe you're a little too old to still believe in this. So my dad picked literally the best opportunity to tell me, all right? So we were out at the mall at Christmas time, and my dad decides to call me over and say, hey, son, I want to tell you the truth about the guy in red. And he proceeded to tell me, he's not real. And I can remember the joy was just sucked out of me at that point in time, and I got so mad at my dad, and I'm like, you're a liar! And I would not believe him that he was telling me the truth. So I was like, I'm going to go ask Grandma. So I walk over. I'm in the mall. I'm bawling. There's people everywhere. I don't know why my dad picked the mall to tell me. And I go, and I ask my grandma. She goes, yeah, it's true. And I just remember Christmas had kind of changed for me at that point in time, and I just kind of lost the magical aspect of it. But, you know, the truth is that, you know, a lot of us can really get focused on the wrong reasons for Christmas, and, you know, the magic and all that kind of stuff is fun. But we can find the real joy in Christmas time when we know the real reasons in Jesus Christ. And, you know, as I lost that magical joy and different things like that in the past, and, you know, now I get to experience Christmas and joy in a different way because I get to pass on the whole idea to my children of Jesus Christ and what this season means and be able to experience their joy on Christmas. And, you know, sometimes life can be like that, that when we're going through different things, we have this joy and we experience all these things. Something happens that steals that joy. But then when we find the truth in Jesus Christ, that joy can be restored. So that's what I want to direct you to this morning. And so I want to take a look at the story of David. I think we all have different aspects that we know of David. I think we can point to the fact that, yeah, he was a shepherd. Yeah, he killed the giant. And yes, he became a king, right? But there's a lot that happens in the middle of that. So I want to start back here at the beginning of David's story in 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting in verse 11. So this is the point where Samuel, the prophet of the time, is going over to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his kids to be the next king to follow after Saul. So we're going to jump right in verse 11. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. So I want you guys to kind of get this picture. David was not even invited to this meal, right? He wasn't even there, and the prophet's coming over to potentially anoint one of his brothers. So his dad goes and gets him. And David is about to hear a message, about to hear a promise from God that is going to change his entire life. And I want this to relate to each and every one of us, that there is a promise that God has given to each and every one of us that will change our lives. So my first point today is God has given a promise to each and every one of us. So I want right now, as we talked about last week, we talked about dealing with our past, right? We talked about the aspect of taking the old jacket off of our old life and putting on a new jacket. And when we get to that point of taking off the old jacket, it's when we come to the promise and the realization of what Jesus Christ did for us, right? When we hear the promise of God, these are the things that we get to hear. We get to hear that we will experience an eternal life when we believe in Jesus Christ. That we don't have to live in an eternal damnation. We don't have to live in an eternal death because of what Jesus did for us. Right? Then we not only hear that we get to experience an eternal life, but then we also get to hear the aspect that we are forgiven of every wrong thing that we have ever done, right? Everything that we've ever done in our past, everything that we've done even this morning or you're doing right now, I'm just throwing it out there. But anyway, and in our future, that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross for each and every one of us, the promise is that we are forgiven of our sins. Think about that promise. Think about when you first heard that message, what did that make you feel? That joy that you experienced, man, everything that I've ever done wrong, everything that I ever will do wrong, it's all going to be forgiven. Man, whew. What a weight taken off. What a joy. And you know, when we first find that promise of God, when we first hear that, man, what happens to each and every one of us? Our lives are radically changed. We don't look at life the same. We don't experience life the same. We know that all of that stuff is gone, washed away, and we can live in a freedom. Man, it's such a good feeling knowing that Jesus Christ died for us so that way we can have eternal life and forgiveness. Man, I think about that and just... We get into that kind of honeymoon phase, right, where everything is good. There's nothing at this point in time in life that can steal the joy that we experience. You know, I can imagine that this is the way that David felt. You know, he was anointed king. He heard this promise from Samuel. But then let's take a look into the story. So at this point, David just continued to be the shepherd, right? And then all of a sudden, his dad's like, hey, I need you to go and deliver this stuff to your brothers. So he goes off to deliver this food and this packages and stuff to his brothers. And he hears this giant dude that's blaspheming God and making fun of the Israelite people. And they're all terrified. So then he goes to the point and he's like, man, why are you guys just standing here? Don't you hear that guy? Don't you hear what he's saying about God? And then we all know the story that he goes and gathers a stone. He kills the giant. But then he goes from that point, the reward is he gets to marry the king's daughter, right? That's part of the reward. So he marries the daughter. He's now living in the kingdom. He gets to a place where he's playing the music for the king, which calms the king down, right? So not only is he now living in the kingdom, going from a shepherd boy to marrying the king's daughter, defeating the giant and playing the music for the king, but now he's the leader of the armies, right? David's life is no longer a shepherd. His life is radically changed, going into battle and leading and killing thousands upon 10,000s, right? Isn't that what the story says? Is that Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s? Man, the people loved David. But then what happens at this point? After the people start praising David for what he was doing and the way that he was leading the armies, you know, one time he was just sitting there and and playing the music for the king, and the king's jealousy starts to build up and get angry towards David, and he starts getting real moody, and, you know, he picks up a spear and starts chucking it at David. He tries to pin him to the wall, but the spear, it's like, whoa, what is happening right now? You know, that's the equivalent that, you know, if Tanya was up here playing and Joe all of a sudden gets mad, it's like, man, I love her worship, or people love her worshiping more than when I'm speaking. And now all of a sudden he picks up a spear and he's trying to pin Tanya to the drum thing right here. That would be the equivalent to what was happening, right? Forget about the peace that we experience when we hear worship. I mean, he's just getting mad. So David's life radically started to change yet again. So he goes from the promise of God and you're going to be king to living in the kingdom, all these things. Now all of a sudden, the king is angry at him and he tries to kill him. So let's pick up the story here in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1. It says, "Then David fled from Naioth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is my guilt and what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?'" So David at this point is like, what did I do to your dad that would make him want to pin me to the wall? Why is your dad hunting me down? Why is your dad going after me? And Jonathan's like, he doesn't feel that way. He tells me everything. You know, there's nothing that my dad doesn't tell me. So if I knew that he was trying to kill you, I would know. Well, so they set up this whole thing and, you know, basically he's supposed to show up at this dinner and, you know, he doesn't because he's scared for his life. He finds out that Saul, you know, is going to try to kill him. And Saul gets so mad and he tells Jonathan, yeah, I'm going to kill David. So they set up this whole thing and David gets to run. So I want you to think about that aspect of where David's life was. I'm sure he was filled with this pure joy as the way his life was going. And now all of a sudden he's on the run. He's like, man, you know, I thought I was, you know, the things were kind of lining up, things were going right, and, you know, I'm about to be king. Now he's running from cave to cave. He's trying to escape with his life and running every single day. And, you know, the king is not just like, if he comes back, I'll kill him. He's literally hunting him down and trying to kill him. A circumstance came into David's life that took the joy away. It came in, changed his life, and started running for his life. You know, I think that's what happens to a lot of us after our relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything seems so good. Life is going perfect. But then we experience something in life that changes the way that we see, the way that we think about things. And we all go through moments of despair in our lives. And when we begin to go through these times, it's very easy to lose that joy that we experienced in Jesus Christ, the joy that we experience in life. You know, right now is a difficult time for many of us, right? There's a lot that's going on. It's not just this pandemic that we see around us that radically changed our lives this year. I mean, it literally changed everything, not just within our nation, but worldwide. It threw us off. Life changed in a drastic way, and many people are feeling it. And, you know, it's when we start to go through the things, whether it's a financial struggle, whether it's losing your job, whether it's issues going on with your family, whether it's sickness, you know, the list can go on and on. Whatever we've been experiencing this year, it's thrown us off. This year has literally taken our joy hostage. Many people within the world and in this nation are feeling an overwhelming sense of aloneness, abandonment almost, stranded, fear. Man, all things to take a joy away from us. And when we get to the place where all of these things are happening in the way that the world is looking right now, I think we can all begin to feel very stuck in those situations. You know, I want to share another quick story with you. For those of you that don't know, I have two boys. My oldest one, his name is Josiah. And, you know, a couple years ago, I think he was either three or four, we decided we were going to take this family trip out to, like, this farm. It was going to be this big old pumpkin patch where you get to pick, like, pumpkins, and you get to do this cool, like, hayride and all of this stuff. And we were having a great day. And, you know, Josiah was really happy. And you know those, like, big board things where you put your face through like this, and you take, like, the pictures, and they're all cute and stuff. So he's, like, he's doing that. We're getting all these big cheeses. We're laughing and smiling and having a good time. Well, he decided that he was going to put his head all the way through the hole. And he's still kind of laughing, his head's through, and then he goes. And the smile that he had on his face turned to fear, stress, anxiety. His head was stuck. I'm not just saying a little stuck, it was stuck. So he went from being this happy kid, taking these cute little pictures, and we're all like, yeah, you're so cute, and all that. Like, oh my gosh, my kid is going to be here the rest of his life. It literally took Tasha and I to get his head out of the hole, one of us pushing his head from the front, and the other one pulling him from behind. And he ended up with some little cuts, like, back here. I'm saying he was stuck. And, you know, we can have the similar thing when we go through life experiences, right? We have this joy. We have all of these things. We're all happy. Everything's, you know, just skipping through fields and flowers and all that kind of stuff. And then a situation happens that changes the circumstance. And we go from feeling that joy to, man, I am stuck in this situation. I can't find a new job. I can't get my family to work. I can't deal with the sickness that I'm going through. And all of a sudden, we feel trapped. We begin to go the way that Josiah did, from smiles and laughing, having a good time, to I feel stuck, I am terrified. And you know, when we go through these things, I want you guys to see where David was at this point as he was running for his life from Saul. You know, as we jump into Psalms, David wrote in Psalm 13, starting in verse 1. We're going to go 1 through 4 on this. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. David went from living in the kingdom to running for his life. Now he's like, God, where are you? Have you forgotten me? Are you going to allow my enemies to overtake me? And I think when we're in this present situation where we are right now, whether it's a personal thing or whether it's the pandemic, whether it's the worldwide thing, I think we can all get to this place where we're like, God, where are you? This situation I'm going through, where are you? Have you forgotten about me? I think we've all been at that place, right? I think we've all been in that place where, like, man, where are you, God? I am so stuck. I don't know what to do. You know, this year, it seems that the world is continuing to crumble around us. How many of you feel that way? The way that we see things that are going on in the world with, you know, the elections and with the divide in our nation and with just the pandemic and the way that we can't see our families in the hospital when they're sick and just the stuff that we're all going through, we can begin to feel that everything around us is just crumbling apart. You know, as we've been going through this year, over the past couple weeks, we've gotten to experience and walk through what Joe is going through with Tony. We've gotten to experience and walk through the things that Tanya is going through with Craig and his sister. With many of you in this room, I know that you're going through situations and circumstances, because if the staff is under attack the way that we have been this year and the things that are just going through, I know that you guys are going through things too. I know many stories in this room of people that are going through. I won't get into any details or anything like that, but we're going through some things. You know, honestly, there's something that I went through this year. You know, first started with blowing my knee out. When I blew my knee out, that changed a lot of the way that I can be physical, a lot of the things that I've been able to do this year. Something still doesn't feel quite right in there. Then there was a lot of personal things that started going on. Then there were some work-related things that were going on. And I just got to a place where my depression literally started to come back, and I was feeling it very heavy this year. It began to overtake me. You can ask the staff. We were in the middle of a prayer meeting. I just busted up crying. I couldn't stop. I went home that day. And I sat in there. My mother-in-law was like, "You okay?" And I just started weeping. And I got to the point where I was just like, I'm seriously considering resigning from my position because I don't think that I can handle this anymore. I got to a place where I was just like, I don't think that God is still calling me for this. I have insecurities. I have doubts within myself. I got to a place where I was just ready to give up. But the truth is that I still can rely on the word that God gave me, that this is the calling in my life. God is the thing that got me through this time. And you know, it's easy when we get to a point in time in our lives, especially right now in the present, when we're dealing with these things and we see people around us that are dealing with things, that we just want to give up. You know, it makes me think of the story of Peter, right? You know, Peter gets out of the boat and he's doing the impossible, right? Jesus says, you know, come on, let's go. Peter steps out of the boat and literally starts walking on top of the waves. Just to let you guys know, there's only been one other person that has really done that other than Peter. Just one. Jesus, right? So as he kept his eyes focused on Jesus, he was able to walk on the waves and do the impossible, right? But then what happened is he took his eyes off of Jesus, he stopped focusing on him, and then the waves around him started to swallow him, and he began to sink. Man, I think a lot of us are sinking right now, right? But the truth is, when we keep our eyes focused on Christ, when Peter had his eyes focused on Christ, he was able to do the impossible and walk on top of the water. The waves that are in your life right now, I believe that you have the ability to walk on top of them. My final point before we have the band come up here is keep our eyes focused on the Word of God. That is what's going to get you through. Just the way that David heard the word of God at that point, that you are going to be anointed king. I believe that, you know, even though, I want you guys to hear this, it was 10 years that David was on the run from Saul. 10 years. Imagine how easy it was to forget that promise of God over a 10-year span of running for your life. It's easy to forget when we're going through the things of what God said. But I just want to reference a couple of scriptures, and I want you guys to look these up later. God's got you in whatever circumstance and situation that you're going through. In Psalm 34, 17 through 18, it says that God is near to those that are brokenhearted. He's near to you when you're going through the situations and circumstances. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 8. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at a proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And then it gets into saying, be sober-minded because there's an enemy waiting to devour you. And I want you to know, if you let those situations and circumstances that you're going through right now overtake you, the enemy is going to devour you. So that's why you need to let them be over to God, to hand them over to God, allow the anxieties to be on him because he cares for you. Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Give it. Give that situation over to God. That's what I'm trying to get you guys to see here, is when you give it to God, he will take it from you and allow you to be able to walk on top of the waves that you're experiencing right now. Deuteronomy 31:6. Sorry, in the notes it'll say 31:5 because I had a typo on my note, but it's 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. God will be with you whatever you walk through, whatever circumstances, situations that you're going through. He is with you every step of the way. I want to close out with the other half of Psalm 13, verses 5 and 6. So after we read that part about David, and just in the moments of despair and feeling that God had forgotten him, this is how he closes out with the final two verses of that passage. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. Now hear this. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Going from the point of, God, you've forgotten me, where are you? To, I will trust in your salvation and rejoice in your salvation. That's where we need to be. Rejoicing in the salvation that he gave us. And in Hebrews 13:8, I want you guys to hear this too. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. So that Jesus that brought you joy in the midst of your salvation when you first heard that promise of God is the same Jesus can bring you the exact same joy that you experienced then when you rely on him and put everything in his hands. And what a great time of year to remember and be pointed to Jesus Christ and the Word of God than right now, as we can remember that Jesus was sent to the earth, the Word made flesh, correct? What a beautiful time for us to be able to remember and allow God to restore the joy that was stolen over this year to you. I want you guys to be able to find joy in your circumstances and your situations right now. Remember that salvation and never let it go, because he's here and he wants what you're going through. I'm going to pray for you guys, and then I'm going to have Tanya do the worship, and Joe is going to come up and close out the sermon. I'll tag my partner, right? Father God, I just want to thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the way that you are with us in the moments that we're in. We feel despair and we feel lost in the midst of everything. Lord, I pray that we would never lose our focus on you. Lord, help us to rise above, to be able to walk upon the waves that are going on around us and not focus on those things, but just see you. God, I pray that every single person in this room, no matter what they're going through, no matter the despair, no matter the feelings, no matter the pain, no matter the hurt, no matter the fear that they're experiencing right now, Lord, I pray that they would hand that over to you. And Lord, that they would take on the coat of your salvation right now, and be able to remember and find joy in you. In Jesus' name, amen.